Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with, I think, the new standard for high demand coaches. That is the one, the only Julian Chapman. And I had to read this a couple of times because it's just hard for me to imagine, especially at this stage of my life. But Julian has over 60 years, that's 60 years of experience engaging teams and organizations in building their leadership capability. He did about 30 years in the business world. He's done about 30 years in the Canadian Armed Forces as well, where he retired in 2014 with the rank of Brigadier General. Suffice it to say, Julian knows a thing or two about thoughts about leadership and organizational development and accountability, and his thoughts have been published in the HR Reporter magazine, CPA Bottomline newspaper, and HR Professional magazine. Now, Julian is also the author of his book, Managerial Leadership Journey, An Unconventional Business Pursuit, which was published in May 22, and I'm very excited to dive into here today. So, Julian, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here. I'd love to, before we get into the book, which from the title alone and the research I had to do, I'm so excited about it. But before we get there, give us a little bit of color. What did all of those years really do for you, create in you, that ultimately led you to writing this book?
Well, just a piece here, Scott. I really didn't spend 60 years doing it because otherwise I'd be Methuselah. So here's the issue. My military career was primarily in the Canadian Army Reserve. So as I like to say, I had a foot on the land and I had a foot in the canoe kind of thing. So in other words, I lived both lives simultaneously. So I was able to do those, to be able to have a military career at the same time as I had a civilian career and make those two lives work. I kind of, had to kind of split my brain in half in order to be able to do that. But that was the nature of it. So from that standpoint, it gave me an opportunity to see the nature of human beings and the nature of human beings in a work setting and an understanding of that, as well as how do you develop leaders? How do you bring leaders along? My book is referred to as the Managerial Leadership Journey because it really is a journey. And the book has kind of my moments of my journey in this process of living these two lives, and how do you intertwine them? Up here in Canada, we have a very different relationship to our military. So a military background here is not very commonplace. So that's why it's kind of an unconventional business pursuit because it's not the norm here. Whereas it's very much the case in the U.S. and in other countries, you have that. They have that interrelationship between those two elements. But I think one of the things that I learned throughout from both sides, but really from the military side, was that there is a need for a profession of managerial leadership. So in other words, that we need to be professional about this. One of the things that I point out is, and I point this out to everyone that's willing to listen. So thanks for listening, Scott. That managerial leadership is the one common profession in every single organization on the planet. Mm. So in other words, it's about it's about bringing together the management side and the leadership side in one person. So that management of task and that leading of people. But it is the one common thing. It's the one common rule. But what we have professions around, whether it's IT, finance, HR, operations, whatever, we have these professions, but we don't have a professional perspective on managerial leadership, yet it's the most common thing in all organizations. So that's kind of my argument from the get-go. And I learned that from the profession of arms, a common profession, throughout NATO, as one would say, that there is a profession of arms. And there's a brotherhood and sisterhood within that that sort of grows up as one goes through one's career.
Wow. So let's dive into that then. And you've opened Pandora's box a little bit for us, but give us your working definition for managerial leadership, because the vast majority of the time I hear both of those words, anywhere near each other, they're often contrasted. Managers are this, leaders are that, and one is usually, depending on the perspective of the speaker, elevated above the other in terms of importance or grandeur. So what is managerial leadership?
So managerial leadership is that function inside an organization where I have to lead people in the delivery of a task. And to be effective as a managerial leader, I have to be able to deliver that task whilst having a positive impact on people. And so managerial leadership is, instead of saying that leadership is everything and management's evil, it's that the two have to coexist. It's a yin and a yang. The two are interrelated, and we have to stop trying to tear them apart, because you can't have successful leadership in an organization if you don't have management, the function of delivering the task. And you can't be successful in the task if you don't have the leadership side. So we've created this dichotomy of tearing these two things apart. And we use the term leadership; it gets bounced around. That team is leading in the in football, or that's a great leader in the music industry. All of these terms, but managerial leadership is, what is it that is inside an organization that makes things happen? And that managerial leadership is absolutely critical. Now, at certain points in our careers in organizations, we may have to lean more heavily on the task side. In other cases, we may need to lean more heavily on the leadership side. The further up you go, ironically enough, the more you do actually have to get really good at the management side. In other words, how do I organize the business? How do I clarify the strategy, organize the structure, and organize the business? It's not just about great speeches in town halls that motivate the employees. You need to leave the motivation of the employees to their real managers, not you as the CEO kind of thing. You got to organize that business and make that business work. And you have fewer and fewer people that you can actually influence by your own personal engagement with them. And we've created this mystique around.
Yeah. So one of the things that creates, and it's almost a whole new skill set, but it's really hard to put your hands on sometimes, is that it's different to manage managers than it is to manage other team members. So what are the skills, particularly for that CEO, that C-suite executive, that senior leader, who can't just go directly to where the work is done, but has to lead through others? What are some of the skills that make them effective?
I think it starts first and foremost with strategy. And what I mean by strategy, again, is it's a term that's tossed around all over the place. And you ask two people what strategy means, and you get two different definitions of it. So the strategy I'm talking about is defining, what does the organization want to be? What do we want to be when we grow up? You can call it grand strategy, whatever the case may be. But having that clarity and that perspective, because that enables people to understand what are the criteria that they have to use as they're doing their work in order to deliver on the strategy. I've got to know where we're trying to go here, rather than strategy, which often, you know, I'll talk to CEOs all the time and I'll say, oh, we've got a strategy. Oh, yeah, we've got a strategy. We'll need to find out that they have a plan, but they don't have an end state. They don't have that perspective as to what is this business really about? And part of that is, you know, we just kind of get busy and we forget about it. So in our work, we help organizations to articulate their strategy. They may have it deep down inside, but they haven't articulated it. They're not really clear. And if I'm not clear at the top of the house with where I'm really taking the organization, then how can everybody else get behind it? So that's really the key element is I've got to have that clarity. And then I have to structure the organization to deliver on that. So it starts with the strategy. Then it's the structure. How many layers do we have? How many, you know, what are the different functions and how do they interrelate? Because so much of the work doesn't go vertically in the organization. It actually goes horizontally. So you have to be able to do that. And I would say that one of the big things that CEOs in particular have to get good at is laterally integrating their team, the C-suite, before their team goes to vertical execution. In other words, what happens is if we do not laterally integrate, if we don't get things lined up in the C-suite before they go to vertical execution, you get that four-letter word that starts with S, silo, right? You get those silos because everybody's trying to do vertical execution. And then if you've layered on top of that we don't have clarity what the strategy is, then we're really going in all sorts of different directions. And so the first two are the strategy, the second is the structure, the third is managerial leadership behaviors to actually deliver it. The employees can't do it all on their own. They need the help of their management. They need the help of the leaders that will lead them through this. And that's why I sort of emphasize that managerial leadership is critical and we have to get really good at it. Far too often we get excited by our own personal experience and the foundations of our personal experiences, which are, you know, whether it's finance, IT, or whatever the case may be, and we forget that actually we're supposed to be leading people through this and that's where our energy has to be. So, you know, so I don't close the door and close everybody out and focus on my spreadsheet. So those are kind of the three things that CEOs have to focus on.
And where do they learn these skills, right? Where do you go to find, you know, let's say you're sitting there and you're thinking, hey, I need help learning to lead these folks, learning to get my team to laterally integrate. Sorry. Where do folks find that skill set?
Well, part of it is, you know, this is a bit of a cop-out, Scott, but I'm going to say that we have to learn by our experiences. We have to learn by our journey. We need to reflect on what we've done, those sort of things. So I would say that rather than getting straight into, you know, you can read up on it, you know, take a course, get an executive coach, you know, all of those traditional ways. Part of it is to really set back and think about how this has gone. What did I learn as I went through this? One of the key things in organizations, and I would say one of the key challenges for the world writ large, is the issue of accountability. Now, again, I have a different definition of accountability, and we distinguish accountability from responsibility, and that's problematic because you go to the Oxford English Dictionary and you look up accountability, it says see responsibility, and you look up responsibility, it says see accountability. So that doesn't help you. And if you've got any project management background, you know RACI models and things like that, and so they kind of get all mucked about. But understanding the nature of accountability, which is I give someone an accountability. So as a managerial leader, I engage with my direct reports and I say, this is what I need you to deliver on. Can you do it at this time? Can you to this standard, et cetera? And if they give the thumbs up, then that's their accountability. Whereas responsibility is my personal feeling of obligation. It comes from inside of me. And an understanding that everyone has a different sense of responsibility. We are all different. We're all diverse human beings. We all have different senses of responsibility. So accountability becomes critical to define what are the expectations and then to actually hold someone to account. Unfortunately, that's where things start to fall apart. Sometimes we'll tell them what we expect them to do, but the other part is holding them to account instead of relying on their sense of responsibility, because they'll go in different directions. Now, there's one role in the organization that struggles the most on this and really has to rely on their sense of responsibility, and that's the chief executive officer. Because they don't necessarily have the board who's breathing down their neck or the owners who are breathing down their neck, but they may, to hold them accountable. They have to drive internally in themselves and say, this is where I'm taking it. Wow. And organizations fail miserably on this accountability piece. And that's part of the structure. What are these individuals accountable for? And as a sidebar to accountability is you need to give people authority. In other words, what you're doing is you're giving them clarity of expectation. You're giving them clarity of authority, of what authority do they have? Because if I'm going to hold you to account, it's fundamentally unfair if I don't give you authority. By the same token, in responsibility-based organizations where we're all driving from our own sense of personal obligation, we're probably seizing authority without any accountability, which is a dangerous. So this is all tied into it.
Yeah. There's so much in there. There's another question that I want to ask, though, and I don't remember where I saw it, but I heard you talk about an enlightened leader. What is an enlightened leader?
Well, the term I use for enlightened leader, and part of it came out of COVID, and it's an important part of as we live in the era of hybrid, at any rate. In this, and you know, the world as it sort of sets itself up again after the effects of pandemic. So enlightened leadership is made up of three elements, and I bundle these three elements. So it's about being authentic, servant, and transformational. That's on the leadership side. So an enlightened leader is authentic. In other words, they have a heightened sense of self-awareness. They're able to bring their true self to the organization. They're servant in that they're caring for their people because they realize that it's through that care of their people that they're enabled to deliver what they need to deliver. And at the same time, being transformational, taking the organization into a different realm, being the change agent. Now, there's an interesting element to this because there's a tension there. So if I'm over on an extreme of authentic and extremely, you know, it's all about me, that starts to impact servant. If I'm too much over onto servant and not delivering the goods, that's problematic. And if I'm too much of a transformational leader, I can end up creating change for the sake of change and people get overwhelmed by it. So it's about a careful balancing act. And that's the nature of enlightened leaders.
So good. So good. So there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it is this. What is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
The first part, obviously, the nature of the profession of managerial leadership, but that the key to organizational success is the management of managers and the leading of leaders. So in other words, all the books and all of the documents, and I've got, you know, tons of these books in my office here, and they're all about getting out and leading your team, getting out and leading individuals, and that game is very different when you're managing managers. And what do you have to do and what do you have to look for and all of these sort of things. It's kind of self-evident, but we don't spend the time or the energy. And that's where organizations fail, whether you're not-for-profit, for-profit, whatever industry, whatever, public sector, private sector, that's where it fails, is in how we lead our leaders and how we manage our managers.
Yeah.
And so.
Excellent. Well, I know folks are going to want to know more. So tell us two things. Where can folks get a copy of your book? Give us the title of it again, where they can find it, and where can they find more out about Forest & Company?
So the book's available on all the sites, whether it's Amazon or Barnes & Noble or you name it. And it's The Managerial Leadership Journey, An Unconventional Business Pursuit. If you Google Managerial Leadership Journey, you'll be able to find it, and you can easily find me as well just by Googling Julian Chapman. But you can find us at forestandco.com, which is our company, which is all about managerial leadership and helping to create great places to work that deliver the strategy.
Brilliant. Well, Julian, thank you so much for being on the show. What an honor and privilege to have you here. And for those of you watching and listening today, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care.
Scott Rittimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.